T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
FM News Talk 97.1 Podcast.
President Trump's major announcement from Orlando is less than 24 hours away, and supporters are already lining up.
You came out here at 6 this morning.
Right.
It will likely affect your day, even if you don't plan to attend.
That's a report out of Orlando this morning, where Channel 9 and the other TV stations down there in Orlando are warning people. They're expecting such massive crowds for the president's rally tonight, his campaign kickoff rally. They're like, listen, roads are closed. It's going to affect you whether you're attending or not. They've had people camping out in tents for 48 hours now, or 24 hours at least, because it's first come, first served to get into this arena. It only holds 20 or 25,000 people. Everybody else is going to be on the outside looking in.
And setting up like screens and stuff like that, so people outside can watch?
It's going to be like a blues watch party, right? Because ultimately, there's a question that you have to ask yourself.
Who the hell wants to change what we're doing now?
Thank you. I think that's the question the president is going to be asking tonight at this event. It's going to be, anyway, it's going to be exciting. And you know the other thing it means? It means, guess what? The pollsters are wrong again. Because there is zero enthusiasm factor when it comes to Joe Biden, and the president goes out on the trail, and close to 100,000 people want to go to his rally. You tell me what, if they're not missing something in all these polls you're seeing nationwide. That's the media trying to influence the vote of the American people. Hey, welcome back. We're happy to have our guest in studio this hour. State Representative Nick Schroer from District 107 is downtown. How are you, buddy?
You know, I was hoping to get into the rally tonight, but they wouldn't let me. It's jam-packed, so decided to come into the Mark Cox Show.
Well, I appreciate that. You're also a thousand miles away.
No, we can get there quick.
Okay, you think so? Yeah, that's good. We can hop on a plane.
People.
We can be there. He knows people.
He knows that's people right. That have planes.
I've got a pirate ship.
Yeah, last time you were here, you were a pirate, Nick Schroer.
That's why I'm down here again today. I've got to get the eye checked up on, make sure everything's good. I'm like the $1 million man. You know, pieces falling apart already. 33
You're way
years
too
old.
Young for that, brother.
You're so young.
Just a little baby.
You are way too young for that. Did you come to the Blues rally?
I did.
Yeah.
I did.
It
was
downtown?
It was amazing. I was down here at like 9 o'clock. I said it was like Christmas for old people. Because, you know, it's like Santa Claus came and just gave everybody beer at 9 o'clock.
Uh-huh.
There were people that were so happy downtown, but they're the nicest drunks I've ever met.
They were?
So, you know, I get down here, I see the singing and the dancing and everything, and then all the blues players came in. It was amazing. I got to meet a bunch of people who thought I was Ryan O'Reilly. Swear to God.
You should have put that Australian-looking hat on that he had on, and that would have been perfect.
Yep. So I have a hat like that.
Oh, do you? See?
I do.
So if you'd have just known.
Great minds think alike, but not that day.
You might have gotten free beer out of that. People are handing beer out to the players.
Yeah, they're throwing beer. I had one family member of the alumni. She kept telling me, I met your mom last night. And I'm like, what in the world is this lady talking about?
Are you sure?
Yeah, it was like, pretty sure my mom's at the farm.
Yeah,
so unless you're in Fayette, Missouri. But no, she swore I was Ryan O'Reilly's brother, which is a good person to be confused with right now.
No kidding.
Not bad at all.
You might even have gotten on the float if you'd played your cards right. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
He did. Maybe he did. He's winking at me right now. I'm just kidding.
With my good eye.
That was not Ryan O'Reilly you got your picture with the other day. I hate to tell you that. But
all those signatures you guys had. Yeah.
But yeah, it was a fun time. You know, seeing St. Louis blow up like it did. You know, I was little when the Rams won the Super Bowl. I've seen the Cardinals win time and time and time again. But my grandpa, like my wife, I was telling her that this is once in many lifetimes opportunity. You know, my grandpa, he served in the Korean War, was a sniper in the military. He actually had one eye. So, I, you know, come from a long line of one-eyers. But, you know, he was a massive Blues fan, didn't make it to see the Blues get this far. Saw him go to the Stanley Cup the first 3 years, but get swept. So it was awesome seeing the youngsters. There were people with little babies, newborn babies.
I know,
out.
Little ones.
So, you know, with this, we have the XFL. I just drove past the new home of the XFL, the former Dome. We've got the All-Star Game coming in next year. And looking on the news sources and hearing you this morning, St. Louis is becoming great again. You know, we have Gardner, Tisby, all these corrupt investigators and politicians finally being exposed. So today's a great day. You know, we're making America great again with the announcement of Donald Trump tonight. But we're making St. Louis great again with everything that's been happening for the past couple of weeks. It's going to be a fun time.
Yeah. You're right, because we of course defeated Better Together, although I'm not sure that's a done deal. To be honest with you, I'll be, you know, just reflecting back on the legislative session for a minute. I've never been more disappointed with our Missouri Senate than the fact that they didn't get off their duff and pass that House-sponsored bill that would have prevented this nonsense going forward of forcing two communities to merge without requiring a local vote. That seems like such common sense. Whether the Better Together effort died on the vine like it did or not, why would you not want that law to be in place moving forward? And I know they could have done it, but somewhere somebody put some pressure on them not to vote. I'm just convinced of it.
Well, you know, I'll talk about that, and then I'll jump to another reason I'm disappointed in the Senate. But, you know, that is a maneuver where I've always said, look, is it right and proper to allow St. Louis County and St. Louis City to merge because of the vote of all these unaffected areas?
Right.
No, it's not right. It's not proper. It's not just, but it's the law. So I think, you know, fixing that law, and everybody that I spoke with, whether they were for or against it, they indicated, nah, it's really not fair. You know, if the two neighbors across the street, if I tell them they have to live in one of their houses together, and they're like, well, wait a second. And I take a poll of the entire neighborhood and they agree with it. That's just not fair. But another reason I'm, you know, convinced there's something going on in the Senate that, you know, in the Missouri House, we passed so many good things, gave it to the Senate, and they either fudged it up, gave it back to us, or just didn't bring it up at all. And the redistricting. So in Clean Missouri, in Dirty Mo, there was a prong, a very small prong, outside of all of this lobbyist and ethical stuff, which we agreed with. We tried to pass that year after year. So, you know, good thing that that's now law. But this redistricting prong, which would take the nonpartisan redistricting, which we have in the state right now, which other states are actually moving to. They're passing it to copy what we're doing. Now we have a nonpartisan, what they call, gerrymandering ability to give this to the only statewide Democrat, give it to her to appoint a bureaucrat, and he's going to figure out, he or she is going to figure out the best way for competitiveness. So St. Louis City, I could be representing St. Louis City because of the fact that we have more Republicans out in St. Charles County. They're going to draw those lines in. And that was something we had to fix in the House to say, okay, well, we're going to give it back to a bipartisan panel of citizens to figure out what is the best way that they want the districts to be drawn. Passed with massive support in the House, give it over to the Senate, and they screwed it up in committee. So it's either ignorance, people still wet behind the ears, or somebody is maliciously trying to kill these common sense measures, which a massive amount of people supported.
Yeah, it's just crap, because it would...
It's a crap sandwich.
It's a crap sandwich. If you're feeding somebody a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich. If it would still be gerrymandering, right?
Right.
For the way you're describing, they'd have to draw districts that look like a dog's hind leg to make it fair, so to speak. In my opinion, where you live should be represented by people who are like-minded. I'm sorry. That's the way it should be. If you live in the middle of St. Charles County, the most Republican county in Missouri, you should expect that your state representative is going to reflect your values and your political beliefs.
And
you
think
shouldn't
in St. Charles
forced.
County, if you're going to elect that person, if you're going to elect that person to represent the county that reflects your values, it shouldn't be, you know, determined by what St. Louis City or Kansas City, which some of these districts, you know, near Columbia, they might get drawn all the way into Kansas City. They might get drawn all the way into Lee's Summit. And they're trying to make it to where it's more equal. Rather than saying, okay, let the people speak, and the people, you know, in this area, in St. Charles County and in Jefferson County, let them determine what's best for them. Now we're going to have farmers out in southern Missouri representing St. Louis City. And how they don't know the issues that are out here. I grew up in Ferguson, Missouri, and I have a farm in Fayette, Missouri, and I can tell you, each one of them doesn't know, you know, the issues that are very, you know, down deep in the hearts of those people.
Yeah. How many people are in each district, each house district?
Roughly, I think it's a roughly 37,000.
So 37,000. So the idea of these districts is they should have 37,000 people in them, and they should be as compact as possible, I would think.
I would think.
To make sure that you're representing the area that that district is in. I don't get this. But anyway,
they dropped the ball again.
They dropped the ball, and they dropped the ball on H.R. 54, which would have stopped this whole Better Together plan from moving forward.
Oh, and if you kick back, there was also the big issue of whether we should be giving in-state tuition breaks to illegal immigrants. This came in the last week. It was something that a senator in the Senate, obviously, but thought it was a good idea, Republican senator, to give these in-state tuition tax breaks, not to people in Kansas, not to people in Illinois, not legal citizens. They want to give them to illegal
not immigrants. Taxpayers, right.
Right. So we're spending time, we're spending money on these fights that just don't pass the common sense test. And to me, it's ridiculous, but it's the reason I ran. It's the reason why a tattooed, bearded guy from St. Charles County decided, you know, I'm ticked. I do practice law, but I believe that I can speak for my district just like I speak for my clients. And that's what, you know, this representative republic that we have, we should be listening to the people that we represent, not lobbyists, not, you know, people beholden that we should be beholden to because they paid us whatever in the fundraisers. We should be listening to the people that elected us that, you know, we're in contact with daily. But, you know, preaching
well,
the choir here.
Justin Hill, I saw him put something out the other day that Republicans in the state of Missouri beat the Democrats to the punch. They beat Bernie Sanders to the punch by providing free college education this semester, this
so,
year.
So, and that right? was something That's that I the, do I do disagree with him on, the first part, and he's talking about fast track, and he and I got into it on the floor.
So you disagreed with him on this issue?
On that one.
Yeah.
And that's where I actually pointed to the facts, and I said, you know, Representative Hill, the original bill didn't have any protections, pardon me, which would allow legal immigrants to receive funding if they wanted, in these grants if they wanted to. We put a bunch of clawbacks in there, which would allow workforce, let's say electricians, nurses, these high demand areas. We knew that was a prong that GM wanted out in St. Charles County. They wanted a workforce development prong. We kept going back to them, and they said, well, the only one that y'all have is this one. So just give us something. Give us something to work with so we can look at all the other states and compare and contrast what the workforce pieces are. So I put some pieces in there, and I ended up sponsoring the amendment, and I got into it with him because I knew this thing in and out, and he thought it was going to give money to illegal immigrants. I said, you know, Representative Hill, we just killed that. We killed that opportunity for the in-state tuition. This would allow for legal immigrants that are here to take part in this and obtain these grants if they jump through all these different loopholes, are going to stay here in the state of Missouri for 3 years, going to work here in the state of Missouri for 3 years, or else that turns into a grant or into a loan. I'm sorry. So
yeah,
that's one that I could talk all day on, but it was shown to kick back $9.39 for every dollar spent into this program.
So, but fast track, the bigger issue there is not the immigrants, but anybody in Missouri over the age of 25 would qualify for 2 years of college tuition under this, correct?
So it was actually lower. We kicked that back. This is a little bit different than the original fast track, okay, which I was all against. Right. I came on your program.
Yeah, yeah. I thought we talked about it.
Oh, right? Yeah. I said that it was similar to a Bernie Sanders program. So
right.
And
right.
When I knew that we had to work with a piece to save these jobs in St. Charles County at GM and get them to actually spend $1 billion, which would take care of a couple infrastructure pieces that we have, I made the decision to work with the governor, to work with GM, and create this thing that had all these different clawbacks. But it would kick down, not 25. You'd have to be out of college for, I think, 2 semesters. You had to jump through a bunch of different loopholes to be under a certain income threshold. But if you did not abide by certain things, if you did not stay here for 3 years and invest back in Missouri so we can get that money back by way of the income taxes, then it would turn into a loan.
So it does revert back into a loan if
absolutely.
You don't stay in Missouri.
Or if you take advantage of it. And it's very different than the A-plus program. So the A-plus program, I could give you money to go, you know, ballet studies. You could go get a degree in ballet studies and never use it.
How do you know that I didn't?
You probably did.
Come on.
Top
Nick.
Of his class.
I know all the different
Twinkle
trivia.
Toes,
yeah, the trivia that you
yeah.
had on yeah. ballet.
Still
but
do.
No, this is something that is different than the A-plus program. We think that it, you know, is going to kick us back $9.39 for every dollar spent. It's what the Department of Economic Development is indicated. And I think it's ultimately going to be a good thing for these high demand jobs that, you know, we need nursing, we need electricians, we need a bunch of different mechanical engineers that are out there. So I'm hopeful that this is going to be a very good thing for Missouri.
So I don't want to put you on the spot here, but at one point, the income threshold for a couple was close to $100,000. Did that get bounced lower?
That is totally different. Yes. Okay. I don't know the amount, but I know Representative Weeman, who is the pro tem, and a couple different representatives from St. Charles County who worked on this hard. But, you know, despite the differences that a couple of us had, we ended up passing something which we are thinking is going to entice GM to stay here, to keep a certain percentage of these jobs for a certain amount of years, or they're not going to get these tax credit breaks.
Well, let's then I guess we don't know yet if GM is staying or
We should know. From what I understand, I spoke with the representatives for GM. We should know within the next 2-3 weeks.
But even if they come back to us and say no, Fast Start's still in place.
Not yet.
Okay.
Governor hasn't signed it. So I think the governor's kind of, and he's in Europe right now, so he can't sign anything.
But yeah, but didn't he turn power over to the lieutenant governor?
Lieutenant Governor Kehoe, yeah.
So Kehoe could sign it, couldn't he?
Technically, I think. I think he could. I don't think he will. I think that would be setting precedent where it has not been established before. But
speaking of Kehoe and speaking of Parson, I'm thinking back to this whole Tisabe deal here and Kim Gardner's office. Scott Rosenblum said in the Post article this morning, he's Eric Greitens' attorney.
Right.
He said in the Post article this morning, quote, Eric Greitens should still be governor. This was a misguided prosecution from the very beginning. One of the worst cases of prosecutorial misconduct I've seen in my 36 years of practicing criminal defense law. I have nothing against Mike Parson. Don't even know Mike Kehoe, but it seems like a lot of cards were stacked against Greitens a year ago, but it was this case in the city where he was facing increasing legal bills for a persecution as opposed to a prosecution that kind of pushed him into resigning.
You look at the cases that went before Cole County judge and, you know, they threw him out or they disappeared. But it was, you know, it wasn't only this case that made me believe that Kim Gardner is totally unqualified. She's negligent in her practice of the law. And there are certain times where she doesn't prosecute when the facts are there. We've seen that time and time again through the Post. Right. But in this case, I think it's going to open a lot of doors. I am a big fan of both Kehoe, a Parson. I was a big fan of what Greitens was doing. Aside from what he was doing behind closed doors, he had some good policies that he was putting in place. So to see him step down when he adamantly said that he didn't do anything and the facts would come out that he didn't do anything. Well, maybe these are the facts that are finally coming out. But he did, in hindsight, make that decision to step down. I don't know if it was for his family. I know that there were some talking points out there that he didn't want his family to go through this, which I understand. I've got two little ones. He's got two little ones. But he did make the decision to step down. So, you know, I think it's time to move on when it comes to the policies. But at the same time, we still need to do this digging to figure out what in the world was going on.
We got to get this mess cleaned up in the city. And I don't know who would replace Gardner if she ended up being removed from office for some reason.
You don't
live
in St. Louis City, do you?
I do not.
Okay.
No.
I was going to say, you'd be a great replacement.
No, but I give them my 1% earnings tax all the time.
Yes.
So they get my cash, that's for sure. And listen, Nick Shore, thanks for stopping by this morning, my friend.
Anytime. I'm hoping the eye is going to be better. And anytime you guys need me to stop in, let me know. I'll bring I'll bring the parrot next time.
Do.
That was
please
a recommendation.
Do.
Perfect. Thank you all.
We appreciate you coming in. Nick Shore there from District 107 out in St. Charles County. We appreciate him.
We're told the suspect was wounded, then arrested, taken to a nearby hospital. At the moment, not clear if anyone else was injured. Police also checking out a nearby vehicle for possible explosives. No word on a motive there, but
there you have it. A good guy with a gun stopped a bad guy with a gun at the federal building there in downtown Dallas. How about that? And, you know, nobody injured because there were people there ready to respond. Welcome back into the show. The minute I saw that story, you knew that could have ended very poorly. But unlike in the Parkland School District, the officers who were on charge there outside of that federal building, they acted and they took care of this guy who apparently was a complete nut job. If you looked on his social media presence, there was no doubt about it. And these police officers took it into their own hands, and the video is frightening when you look at that video. But regardless, they took care of that, and we're glad to see that. One more great example is we get ready for Two-Way Tuesday.
If you ban them in the future, the bullets will have been shot and there won't be any more available.
So you don't shoot deer with a bullet that size. If you do, you could cook it at the same time.
Put that double barrel shotgun and fire two blasts outside the house.
That is without a doubt the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
This is 2A Tuesday, brought to you by the Range St. Louis West.
Sheriff Bill Wayburn joining us this morning from down in the great state of Texas, Tarrant County, Texas. Sheriff, good morning.
Good morning. It's good to be with you, Mark.
Absolutely, sir. You know, I was just mentioning that situation that happened there in Dallas yesterday morning, well handled by the officers who were on hand near that federal building.
Absolutely incredible, courageous response, doing exactly what we expect our law enforcement officers to do, and they did it well.
Yes, they did. I was very glad to see that. You know, one of the stories I've seen in the news recently is the NRA apparently at odds with the governor down there in Texas, Governor Abbott, over this gun storage effort that's going to take place in the state of Texas. What can you tell us about that?
Well, that's something that we're going to have to get in the weeds about on what the governor is trying to do. I will tell you that Governor Abbott is absolutely, in everything else he's done, has been very pro-gun. And, but some of this is that people overreach sometimes. You know, some of the Democratic candidates that we have now are way overreaching, wanting to take our guns and that kind of thing. But I would tell you that the gun storage issue, I think that when it settles down, I think it's going to be fine, but we're going to have to look into it and make sure that the governor's not overreaching a little bit. But that is something that's still out there in the weeds.
Yeah, I was trying to decipher exactly what the opposition was to that, because I mean, the NRA obviously has its own gun safety programs. The criticism seemed to be concerned that if they threw a bunch of money at a gun safety program within the state, it might be corrupted by people who were anti-gun, affecting that message somehow. Is that?
Well, I hear what you're saying, and I can see that. And nobody, you know, and I mean, they're villainized a lot in the fake news, but the NRA, there's nobody that has a better safety program than the NRA. And there's nobody that is for more responsible gun ownership than the NRA. And I would hope as this settles in and formulates out, is that that's where we'll be taking our cues to formulate any education on any of this
stuff.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking to Sheriff Bill Wayburn from down in Tarrant County, Texas. You know, Sheriff, as you look around the country, I think I saw Tucker Carlson yesterday describing the state of California as a picture of needles and feces these days because of the way they've let things, go to heck down there in California and places. They recently tried to pass a law, and I don't know if the governor signed it, that would require you to get the same background check to buy ammunition that you need to purchase a handgun. I mean, they're doing everything they can to do an end run around the Second Amendment in some of these anti-gun states.
They really are, and Governor Newsom out there, he is, this guy is as liberal and socialist as it can be, and because of some of his policies and Governor Brown's policies prior to him, if you look, San Francisco and L.A., some of the cities that we used to look to as kids and think that was wonderful places to be have now become dying cities and infested and just almost third world country out there.
Yeah, very true. You know, Sheriff, I know one of the things you look at and concentrate on is safety for our school children. We recently had a school district in a suburb of St. Louis here that the school board, and this was a fairly rural district, I'll just say that up front, they approved allowing teachers to carry concealed if they had, you know, proper training and all this stuff going on. That has generally been rejected by a lot of these more progressive school systems. And, you know, I've asked this question plenty of times. When's the last time you went to your school board's meeting and asked what they're doing to protect your kid? Most people haven't, and most of the school boards haven't done nearly enough to harden these soft targets.
You are spot on, and I will say here in Texas that numerous of our private schools and several of our public schools have taken initiatives where they've come up with a strategic plan. Some of them hired off-duty cops. Some of them have trained their teachers to be in strategic places across the campus, and they have a plan. And the problem is that these progressives stick their head in the sand and say it's not going to happen here. And they do need to pull it out and look at what's going on in the world and plan for, that active shooter moment. And what are they going to do and where are they going to go? Because an unarmed teacher charging him is just a courageous soul that is probably going to be a casualty.
Yeah. Well, you know, the sad part of it is, St. Louis is known for the crime rate here, particularly murders, unfortunately, in the city. But interestingly, a number of years ago, the city schools in St. Louis, the city high schools, put in metal detectors. They don't have a shooting problem in their schools anymore. And there's a lesson there for some of our more suburban districts. But it's an image issue. They're afraid of the image of searching kids when they come into school every day. That would be another first step, in my opinion, to making our kids safe.
I think it's a great idea. You know, if you come to our courts in Tarrant County today, you're going to go through a metal detector. And that's what we're doing for our courts. Why can't we do that for our schools? Keep our kids a little bit safer.
Yeah, I know they all complain that it's going to cost too much money, but I mean, I think that where there's a will, there's a way, and nothing is more important than the safety of these kids. That's kind of been your focus down there as well.
It absolutely has, and you know, since way back in 2013, a dear friend, God rest his soul, Chris Kyle, and I had planned to train teachers in Texas on carrying of guns, and of course we lost Chris in February of that year, but his wife Taya and I went on and we trained 725 teachers in one fell swoop on gun handling and safety and so forth like that. And so I'm a strong supporter of that. We have to have a good strategic plan in place, whether it's hardening the target with metal detectors along with a response that is a response like we saw at the federal courthouse yesterday. Yes. Is that you have got to go after the shooter.
You got to be ready for it. Sheriff Bill Wayburn from Tarrant County, Texas, appreciate your time. At Bill Wayburn on Twitter. We'll talk to you soon, Sheriff. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. Have a great day.
You too, sir. We appreciate it. The great state of Texas, often said, things start going south, I'm moving to Texas. You know what I'm saying? Love me some Texas.
And you'll pick up that accent real quick.
Oh, I could. You like that, didn't you? You like that, didn't
now
you? You noticed, didn't you?
The rest I know. Of the
I just move in and out Why of it automatically. Yeah. Master of many voices. King master. Of none.
Okay. One way to look at it.
Thank you. We'll be right back. You know you got to go through hell before you get to
heaven. We don't get alive. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
97.1 News Time, 7:46. It's 71 degrees. I'm Denise Schaefer, and here are a few of the local stories we're following this morning. A St. Louis police officer has filed a federal lawsuit against the city and a fellow officer accused of shooting him in the arm. A St. Louis judge says the Missouri legislature cannot cut off funding to abortion providers and their affiliates. St. Louis County is considering zoning changes in preparation for medical marijuana facilities. In sports, the Cardinals beat the Marlins 5-0 last night. They play tonight at 7:15. And this report brought to you by the Associated Press. Check out the newest podcast from the Associated Press, Ground Game, hosted by AP's digital editor, Megan Crane. Ground Game is a weekly conversation with AP reporters and guests about the top political issues around the country. Available on Apple Podcasts. 97.1 News Time, 7:47. It's 71 degrees.
Traffic from the Ambassador Floor Company Traffic Center.
This time around, let's start with the new stuff. In House Springs, we've got a crash. This is a rollover accident, Doolin Creek Road near Monica Lane. Meanwhile, on northbound 270, you're going to start seeing brake lights before Tesson Ferry, and most of the run up to Manchester is going to be slow. You're going to be off the pace, or at least the pace will pick up a little bit around 44, but shortly after that, you're back on the brakes most of the way up toward Manchester. 370 eastbound near 94, clearing up an accident there. 70 eastbound has slow pockets. You really get on the brakes after Highway K, moving into toward T.R. Hughes and kind of on and off the brakes through Mid Rivers. On the Illinois side, 64 westbound, still slow going as you roll up to where we had that crash after the 70 split, where you would take Highway 70 to get to the Museal Bridge. If you stick with 64, there's a crash there and you're slow up to that point. Meanwhile, we are doing seemingly a little better dealing with that closure from over the weekend. The southbound 270 exit ramp to the 70 east and westbound exits, that's going to be out of commission pretty much the whole summer. Traffic's brought to you by Cotton's Ace Hardware. Summer grilling season is here, and Cotton's Ace Hardware has the best in name brand grills from Weber, Traeger, and the Big Green Egg. Free delivery, free assembly, and free haul away of your old grill, plus free fuel with every new purchase. Find your nearest location at cottonsacehardware.com. I'm Lance Hildebrand with traffic on FM News Talk 97.1.
Hey friends, it's Annie. It's that time of year again. If you've been looking at the exterior of your home, and if you've been saying, we've got to do something, chances are you've been thinking about it for a while. At Banner Construction, many of their clients say that one of the reasons they put it off is that dread of the buying process with the pushy Tin Man era type salesman. Banner Construction employs well-trained, knowledgeable professionals who provide fair, haggle-free pricing with a detailed written proposal. No hassles and no high pressure. Banner is an elite preferred James Hardy specialist and a Pella certified contractor, two of the most respected brands in the industry. Then they bring it all to life with quality craftsmanship to transform your home into a neighborhood showcase. Our well-engineered solutions provide a virtual lifetime of pride. Call Banner Construction at 314-569-1050, 314-569-1050, 314-569-1050 to get sound advice at a fair price. Thanks, and have a Banner day.
Now that the kids and grandkids are out of school for the summer, maybe it's time you sneak in a little classroom time. Remember when you complained about the real-life lessons you wish had been taught in school? Well, this summer, Steve All and Mel Brandon at the All Financial Group are offering a series of classes to cover those very topics. How to create your own paycheck in retirement. How to respond to market volatility. What to do about taxes and Social Security. And what about those financial lessons we'd like to pass on to our kids and grandkids? These classes, taught through the STL Learning Center, provide real-life information that we can all put to good use. The next sessions will be held at the Lodge de Pere. Call 636-230-8824 today and you'll qualify for the early bird tuition rate of $29.95. That phone number again is 636-230-8824 or go online to stllearningcenter.com. The All Financial Group is a financial services firm that offers a broad array of products and services, including life insurance and annuities. Licensed in Missouri and Illinois.
The Annie Fry Show.
Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood. Iran has set to break its uranium stockpile limit.
Well, it's actually nuclear blackmail. So they're saying, if you don't let us do what we want to do, we're going to develop nuclear weapons.
Weekdays noon to 3 on FM News Talk 97.1.
About 17, he was strong, playing my favorite song.
You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show.
If you're feeding a person a crap sandwich with a smile, it's still a crap sandwich.
Glad you're back with us here. Let me get to the phones real quick. Line one here. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Mark. I'm kind of fearful about this Orlando thing. With all the crazies out there that hate Trump, to have Trump and Pence in the same building, the last thing we need is a President Pelosi in this country. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree with that. I hadn't given that much thought, but I'm sure security will be tight.
Well, I hope so. One other thing, Mark. I've been watching the network news here, and there's a lot of banging of the drum for war with Iran. You know, John Bolton is a neocon. I think Mike Pompeo has joined him. And you're familiar with that PNAC document, aren't you? Project for a New American Century that was drafted back in 99. They named four countries that they wanted to invade in the Middle East. But they needed the Pearl Harbor type event. That was what 9/11 was about. Those four countries were Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, and Iran.
Well, I wonder why anybody would want want those four countries? Oil?
Well, we, you think maybe?
I don't know.
Afghanistan, it's heroin.
It's heroin. I've heard that. I appreciate that. Thank you very much for the call, George. Yeah, I've read about that before. I've never bought into the 9/11 conspiracy theories, but you know where the president's speaking in Orlando tonight?
Where's that?
At the Amway Center.
I was kind of hoping you were going to say
Disney
World.
Do you ever know anybody that sold Amway?
No.
I don't
know. I know what it is.
Have you ever been approached by somebody to sell Amway?
No.
Guys, I don't know what Amway is. Can we back it up a little?
Beep, beep.
It's like a way to shop, right? Like they used to, maybe it's changed over the years, but they used to, you'd sell products, but they were all sold by Amway. Yeah, things like the home products and stuff like that were sold by Amway. And it was sort of a pyramid type thing where you get people underneath you selling these products and then you would make a portion of it. It was like the original multi-level marketing deal years ago. But people got so aware of it, like they didn't want people would approach you about this really great idea they had, but they wouldn't say the word Amway. Like they were afraid to say it because they knew what your reaction was going to be when they said it. So maybe that's what's going on with the polls. There are lots of people out there that are going to vote for Trump, but they don't want to listen to your feedback on it, so they just don't tell you. That's why all the polls are wrong.
People do the opposite of what they're actually going to do.
So well, the poll questions are weird, too. Like, I got a poll question at work. This was a while ago, but it was like, are you voting for this Democrat or this Democrat? And I was like, I don't know, neither, but those were my options.
That wasn't the option.
Like, the questions are targeted at so they can get the results they want. Polls can be manipulated.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I always try to do something to skew them a little bit, don't you? Like, tell them when it asks me gender. Female, ask my age. I usually lie about that. Which party do you identify with? I'll lie about that just to throw them off a little bit.
Well, now we wonder why our polls are so off.
Yeah, no kidding. We wonder what's wrong with our polls.
It's so wrong anyway.
You know, if you're doing it, millions of other people are doing it too.
Absolutely.
I wasn't doing that. I was trying to catch on voice recorder. I was like trying to repeat the message that was asking me so I could record it for you guys, but they hung up on me before I could get it.
Sorry about that. I didn't hear about
that. You should be. This is completely
Here's good news, guys. By the way, it's good news for guys. This is a story from Fox News here, so you've seen this.
Oh, yeah.
Men with dad bods are happier and more attractive to women, according to this survey. Now, do you think the women were lying in
happier.
The survey? You think women lied in the survey to
well, we just
skew
talked
the
about
results?
How inaccurate polls were. So,
oh, Tricia, you're killing me here.
Sorry, man.
Men with a slight paunch and a distinct lack of cheese grater abs are officially more attractive than they were in the past, according to this study.
That does not make them more attractive than the people with the abs, though.
It just means that we're more accepting.
We're more tolerant.
You don't think so?
But yet, I think that the men are probably not as tolerant of what, I don't know, what do you call
it?
Oh,
there's such a double standard. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
The survey results said that by Planet Fitness showed that 78% of people think confidence is king.
No, I agree with that.
The summary said nearly 4 in 5 among both men and women believed a dad bod is a sign of a man who's confident in his own skin.
I don't know if it has to be the dad. I just think in general that confidence, whether you're have a dad bod or you don't, goes a long way.
Yes.
Same for women.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a carry a little extra, but you own it and you've got confidence about it, you know,
you're significantly more attractive.
Yes.
Yeah.
See,
confidence like, does, but
like Adam Levine, he's supremely confident.
But if you're a jerk with a dad bod, you're not any more attractive.
Yeah, just because you've let yourself go, you can't be a jerk. Like, that's not helping you.
All right,
guys. Or if you
guys,
have a six-pack and you're a jerk, it still doesn't matter.
Put on a pair of jorts and go to the bar and try to pick somebody up. Just be confident.
Just be cool about it.
That's the key thing. Might also determine which bar you go to. I'm just saying. I don't know that.
Get more at 971talk.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.